say this, I want us to worship. I want you to really reach out to the Lord this morning. Touch the Lord, praise Him.
we've just done, and let us turn to God's Word this morning in the Gospel of John, chapter 16. I'm going to read verse 33 just to have a prayer request here. Please pray for Jackie. It's 9. He had a tumour removed that was the size of a melon. He has not responded to chemo and is now having to have radiotherapy every day. So we pray we bring young Jackie, age 9, before the Lord. John's Gospel, chapter 16, and verse. Verse 33. Verse 33. It says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Amen. Let us bow our heads, praise God. And Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning already for your presence in our midst. Lord, we know this morning that without your presence, Lord, we could do absolutely nothing. Lord, without your presence, Lord, we would just be a gathering of people with no effect. Lord, in your presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. We pray this morning, Lord, for a special visitation from on high. Lord, that indeed you'll pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord, and help us to receive of you, Lord. Help us this morning, Lord, that we would see no man save Jesus Christ alone. For, Lord, there's none beside you, Lord. There's none like you, Lord, this morning. And I praise you this morning. And I say, Lord, that your name is above every other name. The name of Jesus is so sweet. Lord, it's a name that gives cheer. It's a name that gives hope. It's a name that breaks the bonds and bonds of Satan. And I thank you, Lord, that it breaks every fetter and it sets me free. I thank you that at the name of Jesus, yes, every knee will bow. Glory. Whether they say they believe in God or whether they don't, but every knee will indeed bow and confess that you are Lord. Lord, this morning we glorify your holy name. We magnify your office this morning, Lord, because there is absolutely none like thee. And blessed be the name of the Lord this morning. Lord, we can come with confidence this morning because of thy shed blood. Lord, we can come with faith and with boldness to ask the things that we have need of. Because you said in your word, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Lord, we have just read here in this verse that in the world ye shall have tribulation. And this family has gone through a time of tribulation, even with this young lad Jack. Indeed, he's gone through a time of tribulation. And Lord, it's so easy to be overwhelmed with circumstances that we don't look to thee. But Lord, let us be reminded this morning that you said, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Amen. And in doing so, Lord, you have overcome the enemy. Yes. And we plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon this boy this morning. And we say, "Let him be well. Devil, get your hand off him in the name of Jesus Christ. He's your master. Do as you're told now in the name of Jesus." Lord, we're glad this morning that we can come with boldness because we are the sons and the daughters of God. Yes. We know our position this morning. Amen. We're of a heavenly kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. We're saints, washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Yes,
Lord, we thank you this morning for the power of thy word and for the power of thy Spirit. Lord, we give thee thanks this morning that we can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
Which strengthens us. Oh, precious God, this morning, pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord. Pour out the Spirit. Lord, we pray we'll shake Satan's throne and dominion this morning, Lord. Lord, he'll suffer a great defeat, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, this morning, bless this service for thy glory. In the lovely name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You may take your seats. Praise the Lord. God, in the presence of the Lord this morning, If I was to get up here this morning of myself, I could do nothing. I couldn't preach to you this morning, I wouldn't know what to say. I've nothing good to say, I couldn't encourage a single one. But I trust this morning that he can encourage you.
Amen.
You know, this morning we have here a prayer request for this young lad. And it's a perfect example of what Jesus has said here. I'm going to read the verse again. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Satan wants to take your peace this morning. And he wants to overcome you and overwhelm you this morning. He wants to present you with so many circumstances in your life that you can't lift your head. But Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. That doesn't mean you give up. Because the one that's instigator of your tribulation, Jesus said, he has overcome.
Amen.
Jesus said this morning, be of good cheer.
Glory.
And I'm not upset this morning. I'm just grateful, praise God.
Amen.
Tears of joy this morning because of what the Lord has done for me. He has overcome the world.
Glory.
And that makes me an overcomer too. Because I'm in him.
Amen.
And that makes you an overcomer.
Amen.
But the devil this morning wants to tell you that you're defeated. And you know, I like that song we sang this morning. When Mary came to find the tomb of Jesus.
Amen.
You know, it's one of my favourite portions in all the Bible. When the angel said unto her, fear not, for he is risen.
Amen.
She come to expect to see a dead Jesus. She come to expect a defeated Jesus. But praise God, he wasn't defeated.
Amen.
Praise God, he was risen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, the angel had a message. Praise God, fear not. Hallelujah. I want to tell you this morning, fear not. Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Now this morning, I want to speak on a subject called the big fight. And I'd said a while ago this was on the back burner for quite some time. And it's something I've been thinking about for quite a while. Now, we're going to go through it this morning. And I want you to try to think this morning, if we can for a moment, just forget about all you know, because you'll not have the same effect. I want you to reverse back to 2,000 years ago and Jesus Christ is coming to the cross. And I want you to put yourself in the shoes of the disciples and the believers of that time. They didn't know what we know now. They didn't know what Mary found out that morning she came to the tomb. I want to talk about the big fight. And I want to liken it on this morning a bit like a boxing match. Just for to try and set it out, and hopefully this morning you can appreciate what Jesus Christ has done for you.
Amen.
Now, in this big fight, there's two contenders. We have reigning, a supreme champion. He's a heavyweight. And we're going to look at the greatest heavyweight bout of all time. This heavyweight champion has lost many a round, but he never lost a fight. He always came back. And the proof of that was that when the opponents died, they stayed dead. They stayed in the grave. And he held on to that belt.
Yeah.
That belt was never awarded to anyone. And this man, Satan, or if we could call him a man, he's a spirit, he's an angel. But he holds this belt, the heavyweight belt. And we have someone now that comes into the world, a contender. And there's been many contenders throughout the years, and many of them have been formidable opponents, but none of them has ever won this title. But you know, Jesus says here, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The world is likened onto the strong man's house. That Jesus said, if you're going to take the strong man's house, you must first bind the strong man. And in order for Jesus to overcome the world, he first must overcome the prince of this world. And we know that the prince of this world was indeed Satan. Jesus says, the prince of this world cometh to me and findeth nothing in me. Now is the prince of this world judged. Now is he cast out. So we know that the prince of this world was indeed Lucifer. And you know, he became the prince of this world when Adam forfeited the keys of death and hell. That's the belt that's in contention this morning. That's the prize this morning. The prize is the keys of death and of hell. Now, I said that in order for Jesus to make this statement, he has overcome the world, he first must overcome the prince of the world. In order, Jesus also said, to take the strong man's house, you must first bind the strong man, then you'll spoil his goods. Now, there's a lead up to the fight. And many men have come, and many servants of God have come, and tried to withstand the enemy. But every single one of them men failed at some point in their life. Every one of them men got the wound pulled over their eyes, or got landed a knockout punch, and Satan held on to those keys. Now, coming up to any sort of fight, there's always a publicity campaign first. And the publicity is to bring people's attention to this fight. Now, Satan has always had great joy in telling the nation of Israel that they were defeated. Because no longer were they rulers of their own selves, but they were being governed and ruled by Romans. So Satan had great delight, and I'm sure the Romans took great delight in reminding the people of Israel every day that they were servants to Rome. Where is the great God of Moses that opened the Red Sea? Where is this God that delivered you out of the hand of Pharaoh? But now, he can't deliver you out of the hand of the Rome, the greatest empire at that time the world has ever seen. So there's lots of propaganda happening. But on Jesus' side, when Jesus comes, he's not a bragger. And you know, some people, when they do something, they like to brag about it. They like to tell you all about what they have done. If you start to tell somebody something you've done, right away they'll start to tell you something greater that they have done. Because that's pride. But Jesus wasn't a man full of pride. Indeed, many times, whenever Jesus was in the world and was healing people, he said, don't spread it abroad. You know, because he didn't want to get swamped with all the people. Many a time when he was on the seashore, he had to go out on the boat because of the crowd. He couldn't get through certain places. You know, there's times when the Bible pressed him, and he didn't always want to be as such in the public eye, and not way in the way that Satan wants to be in the public eye. And also, in this publicity campaign, you always have a poster of who the opponents are. And first of all, we have the two contestants. One is the devil himself, and he's the reigning champion. And he holds the heavyweight belt for millennia. He's held it for a very long time. And that belt, as I said before, is the keys of death and hell.
Yes.
He wears that belt, and he holds on to it. And what can we say of the contender? He's making lowly. So we see one boy, and you know these boxers, the way they get on. They have the belts, and they run up and down with their hip-hop music, whatever type of music it is. You know, when they like to flush the belt, they like to say, look what I've got. I'm the champion. I'm the man. Look at me. Look how great I am. They're full of pride. And that's just like the devil. Jesus didn't get on like that, praise God. But we have the devil. Here he is displaying them. I've got the keys. No one's ever took them. Anybody want to take their chance? And Jesus comes, but he's making lowly. Praise God. Now, the press release comes. And if you like, there's a date set for this big fight. They're preparing for this fight. And the prize, indeed, is the belt. Praise God. The prize is the belt. And the belt is the keys. That's the prize. That's what the winner gets to keep. If Satan wins, he gets to keep every man bound in a grave. If Jesus wins, he releases them from that realm. Praise God. Amen. And he holds them keys. Amen. Now, coming up to the fight now, we have in the ring two sides. In the white corner, behold the Lamb of God.
Yes.
Now, the publicity is always a very careful thing, because if you get the right sort of publicity, it can help you in your mood. And you see, it's very true what the Bible says, that the power of life and death is in the tongue. And there's a saying in the world, and it's not a true saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That is wrong. Words are one of the most dangerous weapons that any person can use. Now, if you can just hype yourself up, and this is what the boxers do, if you notice in these campaigns, this guy's not going to stand a chance, I'm going to knock him out in 30 seconds, he'll not get past the first round. You know, it's all intimidation. Because if you can be intimidated this morning, you'll have fear. And the Bible says that fear bringeth a snare. And if you're snared, you're in big trouble. So you see, it's the enemy's job, and he's very good. He's a very good man at it. He's the campaigner, and he's very good at putting people down. He's very good at talking big talk. So here, what the saying is, Does anybody know who he is? I've never really heard of him. Some say he's a prophet, but I'm not. No, he's not. Perhaps he's a carpenter's son. I said that about him. These are the defamatory marks about Jesus Christ. We don't know who your father is. You're an illegitimate child. He's a son of a carpenter, supposedly. He's a devil. He goes about doing these good works, casting out devils by the prince of devils, Beelzebub. He's a pestilent fellow. He's a blasphemer. He's a gluttonous man and a winebibber. He associates with sinners. He's Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, that doesn't sound like a very good build-up. Sure it doesn't. It doesn't sound like this boy's got much of a chance. In other words, this is a nobody, and he thinks he's going to contend for this title. But in the black corner, we have the reigning supreme and undisputed heavyweight champion of all time. He's the daddy of destruction. He's the twister of truth. He's the master of manipulation, the slippery serpent, Mr. Pump and Pride, Lucifer himself. That's who we've got. He sounds like a formidable opponent. Now, the introduction has been done. White and black, light and darkness, and the bell rings and the fight commences. Now, anybody who's ever had a run-in with Mr. Devil knows he doesn't fight fair. And each and every one of us has a match to fight this morning. We have our own cross to carry. The hymn writer once said, "Must Jesus bear his cross alone, and all the world go free." Now, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. And the cross I carry this morning won't be the same cross you carry. It won't affect you in the same way. And the devil can get at me in ways he'll not be able to get at you. And the devil can get at you in ways he'll not be able to get at me. But he's a master tactician, and he knows what buttons to press. He knows where your soft points is. He knows the cross you're carrying. He knows. And he'll not fight fair. He'll do all his dirty best to try and get you to bow the knee. Now, Satan, he doesn't fight fair. He never fought a fair fight in his life. You know, how did he beat Adam? He didn't beat him in a fisticuff fight. He beat him because he knew that Adam loved his wife so much he'd do anything for her. And that was the truth. But you know, one of the first things that Satan does coming up to this fight is the bell rings. And it's a very, very important thing. You know the old Rocky films you've seen in the boxing match? It said, win the crowd. If you win the crowd, you'll win the fight. And that's even the said of football matches. You know, sometimes they say that the crowd, the fans, were the 12th man on the pitch. Because if you've got the support of the crowd, you can go that bit further. You get encouragement. That's what I'm saying about words. Words can do you harm or words can do you good. And if you can win the crowd and have the crowd on your side, then you have a great, great benefit in your hand. Jesus didn't have the crowd on his side, but the devil did. Satan also, he's not a fair fighter. We see Jesus Christ here. He's a man. He's in the flesh. And he's going to fight an opponent that is a spiritual being. And Satan can take many forms this morning. Satan, the Bible says, the prince of the power of the air, he can be invisible or he can be invisible. So if there was a referee this morning, the referee couldn't really see how many boys is in the ring fighting against Jesus. Satan has an army. The Bible says that when he was cast out of heaven, that his tail drew the third part of the stars. That was the angels that come with him. And Satan has all his angels with him fighting against Jesus. Now it can't be seen with the natural eye. But what can be seen with the natural eye is the influence they're having on the crowd. And the insults they hurl and the insults they accuse him of. Now he sends these cronies in first. And they're taking their digs at the Lord. And also their job is to influence the crowd. So the crowd accuse him falsely. And you know what I find struggle myself? One of the things I struggle with most is if I'm accused falsely. I find it very difficult to cope with being accused falsely. I would lose my temper very quick if I was to be accused in the wrong. But here is Jesus, and he's accused falsely. And not only that, but these men are being influenced by the powers of darkness, and they strike out, and they buffet Jesus. They smite him on the face with their fists. They buffet him sore. And then not only that, but they give him a heavy load to carry while he's in this fight. Now, when you're fighting a tough contender, you know, it should be one-on-one, but Jesus isn't fighting one-on-one here. You know, the Bible says that the bulls of Bashan compassed him about. So he's got a great army that he's facing here this morning. Not only is he being buffeted by the crowd, not only is he facing the false accusation, but they give him a cross and a heavy burden what he must carry while he's in the fight. And here's Satan sitting back the whole time, and he's saving himself. He's standing in the testers, Peter, where's his strength? Where's his weakness? Where am I going to make the most impact? And us, Satan, the Lord here, if looking at it in the natural, he's taken an awful beating. He's been smote in the face, and his face swells up. Now, Jesus in flesh, he was suffered in all points like what we are.
Amen.
When he was smote, right, he bruised. When he was cut, he bled. Mm-hmm. And they plucked off the beard from off his face, they hit him over the head with a stick. They placed a crown of thorns upon his head. He was in bad shape, and they gave him a cross to carry on top of it all. And it gets so much, it seems like he's almost overwhelmed, that in this round, he goes down. He hits the floor. And the devil's looking at him now. The devil's thinking to himself, what's going to happen now? And if you can imagine the commentators, if they were commentating on this fight, they would say, can any man take a beating like this? There he is, lying down on the ground, unable to carry that cross. He's battered, bruised and beaten. Beat into the ground, into the dust. The very thing we're going to God from, Christ was into the dust.
Right.
And Satan's standing over him like that. And he's waiting to see will he get up. The commentator, can any man take a beating like this? Surely he's finished. And the counting begins. It looks like it's all over. 1, 2, 3, 4. Will he get up? Satan says, hold on a minute, boys. Get you over there and get that cross gathered up. I'm not finished with this boy yet. I want that boy. I have a bit more left for him yet. But all same boys begin to count that dastardly devil. He's saving himself the whole time. He hasn't committed himself yet really to the fight. But he sees the weakness of Jesus and he compels one of his own to compel someone out of the crowd to come and lift up that cross, to get Jesus back on his feet and to carry that cross a little bit further. And he's heard saying, Jesus, I'm not finished with you yet. Get on your feet. So he's lifted onto his feet, not able of his own self hardly to get on his feet, but he's lifted. And someone comes in to bear the burden of the cross, to share that burden with him, just to get him a little bit further, because Satan has no mercy. And Satan won't take a go at you and think you've had enough. He'll not quit until you're all together defeated. He'll not quit till he stands over you. Praise God. Now, Jesus is back on his feet, and the fight continues as Jesus struggles on. It's a struggle. Now, it definitely was a struggle, because Jesus is carrying such a burden that people can't even see. He's been beat. His body has been whipped. His hands have been tied. But while he's on the cross, Satan then comes with more manipulation. We said he was the master of manipulation. And he begins to tempt him. And the crowd jeer at him. He doesn't have much support. Now I want to ask you this morning, put yourself in his shoes now. And think, ask yourself, would you feel like carrying on? Would you feel like you could go on? There's nobody there to support you. Some of the devil's crowd slip over onto the ears of men and they begin to whisper, little whispers. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross and we'll believe you. What a terrible temptation. I like that song. We sing it, he didn't come down. Because it said that, if you be king, come down to the ground. Praise God, I'm glad he didn't come down.
Amen.
You've done enough. Throw the towel in. You've done enough. You're beat. You're well and truly beat. Even your followers can't even bear to look at you in such bad shape. The enemy has abused you so much and showed you no mercy. Showed you no quarter whatsoever that your own followers can't even look on you. Your own father, whom you say is God, he has pulled the plug of the lights and the lights are out. And he can't even look on you. You're so badly disfigured. You're so badly beat. Your own father can't even look on you. Lights have gone out. And the fight continues in the darkness. Then Jesus cries out in tongues, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. What's being interpreted is, my God, Why hast thou forsaken me? I want to stress something this morning. We believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ left his deity aside when he died on that cross. And he died as a man dies. God totally forsook him. You see, God could never be bruised. They could never pluck the beard from God's face. They could never put a nail in the hands of God. But God made a tabernacle of flesh and came and dwelt in a body. A flesh likened unto sinful flesh, made under the law. Praise God. Now, the devil is now seeing, and he hears Jesus crying out, and he feels like Jesus is now desperate. And the devil seeing that Jesus is up against the ropes and sensing him at his weakest. Everyone is now abandoning him. And the devil says, like an old priest would say, it's now between you and me. You know, everybody else has taken their go at him. The devil, that one who says he's the supreme champion, he's been saving himself the whole time. He hasn't committed himself. But when he sees that Jesus is on the ropes, he's already failed. He's already needed help to get up. He's already had all the bad publicity, the false accusations, and the weakening of the mind by these words. Come down from the cross, through the towel, and you've done enough. Now Satan steps up and says, right boy, we're going to finish this now. Where's between you and me now? Jesus says, it is finished. And he bows his head. Now we know that when Jesus said that, we think that's something victorious. But I said to you this morning, let's go back 2,000 years ago. Put yourself in the shoes of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Put yourself in her shoes this morning. Sing that song. You know, how would she have felt? Now we know Mary's not the mother of God, but she gave birth to a son. And she carried him in her womb. And the Bible says, as Tommy preached the other week, made of a woman under the law. And she fed that child. And she looked after him. And she reared him. She loved him like it was her own. And you imagine a mother beholding a son stark naked on a cross. And the blood running out of him. The Bible says that he was marred more than any other man. He was a disfigured Jesus. Put yourself in her shoes. And he says it is finished. Put yourself in the shoes of John the Apostle. They say that John was only a young man. But here he was just a day before, a night before, leaning on the breast of Jesus. They thought that nothing could ever happen to this man. This man was so great. But now it finally looks like he's being defeated. And when he says it's finished, they don't have a revelation of what that is. They think it's over. Put yourself in Peter's shoes. I feel sorry for Peter. How could Peter live with himself? And the shame that he felt when he denied that man 3 times. And there he is on the cross, and he doesn't say a bad word about no one. And we often say that people never say a bad word about anyone. Well, if you stay around somebody long enough, you'll hear them saying plenty of bad words about everyone. But Jesus Christ said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Think of how Peter must have felt when he said that. Feel the shame. But Jesus said, it is finished. And Satan, that old devil, he thinks this is now the opportunity. Steps up. The man, knockout punch. He's got a powerful punch, a knockout punch. And as he lands this knockout punch, Jesus is against the ropes. And he lands that knockout punch. And that punch carries such a powerful blow that the whole earth shook. The earth actually shook. Now, there was a famous boxer one time, and he made a comment, he said that he would hit another boy so hard. This is the kind of talk you see for the puff themselves up to try to intimidate people. That is, he said he would hit him so hard that his ancestors would feel it, or they didn't feel it. That's what he said. But whenever Satan smote Jesus on the cross, and something else just while he said, God was allowing all this to happen. He says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. The Lord let it happen. But as he did, the earth shook with the force of this punch. And not only did it shake, but the graves opened. And ancestors felt it. Those that were dead knew it. Praise God, there never was a punch like this punch. Now, for those looking on, how does it look? What have they got? They've got a dead Jesus. They've got their hearts full of sorrow. All hope is gone. All hope is lost. Here's the man that opened the blinded eyes. was dead. And for the onlookers, it looked like it was all over. It looked like this reigning champion was still undefeated. Now, it's not over. Now we can say in hindsight, it's not over. You see, he often said it before, when Jesus said it is finished, it wasn't the end of everything. It is finished was that he had fulfilled what God had set out for him to do. He paid the price of redemption. And when he said it was finished, it was paid in full. Now there's a new beginning. Praise God. It is finished was the end of a chapter. But now there's a new chapter. You know, it's not over, and it's always said of a man. And some of the things I'm sure you've heard it say, you know, if he gets that knock out, whenever he comes back more dangerous than ever. Well, that's what it was like with Jesus, praise God. Because you know, when Jesus yielded up his spirit, he stepped out of that body of flesh. Now the flesh died, but the spirit didn't die. And when you die, your body dies, but your spirit doesn't die. And Jesus stepped out of the flesh into the spirit, that Logos, and stepped down into hell. Praise God. Amen. He comes off the ropes. Praise God. It's time for retaliation. And says, of devils, twister of truth, master of manipulation, slippery servant, Mr. Pump and Proud, you dirty devil! Yeah. Praise God. Praise God, it's time I took off these gloves. Oh, praise God. I've been going easy on you. I've let you have your way with me. But now it's time that you got now what's coming to you. And the devil, he cries out, ring the bell! Ring the bell! Because he's given everything he has. Praise God. He sees the condition that Jesus is in. He's not a hacked up piece of meat hanging on a cross now. No, he's in the spirit. And he hears the authority of his voice. He doesn't sound like a whimpering Jesus. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I thirst. Son, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son. He doesn't sound like this no more. But as Satan runs for his corner, for some sort of refuge, Jesus follows hard after, praise God. And he gives that old cowardly devil. And the bell can't save him. Praise God. Amen. The bell can't save him. The devil, he cries out in terror. And what an embarrassment it is. There wasn't a need out of Jesus on the cross. He took all he had and never complained once. But this old devil, he cries out in terror. What an embarrassment for all those devils that's looking on. And they can do nothing. The fear has the grip of them. They're sitting there paralyzed in fear, shaking in their boots as they look on. And thus, the Lord lands up and strikes that old devil. He has lives and favoured. He took the teeth out of him, praise God. He took every tooth out of his head, praise God. And there's Satan. He's lying on the canvas, trying desperately to count the stars to see what he's got left. He's David, praise God. But Jesus removes from him while he's on the canvas that belt. Says, you have lost it, and you are lost. Hallelujah. And Jesus takes the belt and gives it upon himself and holds up the keys and says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of death and hell. Hallelujah. He's the champion, the new heavyweight champion of the world, and of all time is Jesus Christ. Praise God, amen. That old devil was no contest whatsoever when Jesus stepped off that cross. When Jesus stepped out of that natural body, he'd done all that he was supposed to do. He fulfilled the righteousness of God in the body of flesh. Hallelujah. And he took all the devil could give him. But praise God, amen. He took them keys of the devil and he conquered him. Praise God. Now, Jesus, what a fight. What about us this morning? What sort of a fight are we in? Are you in a fight? Maybe you are in a fight this morning, and maybe it's you that's on the canvas. But you know, I said about that devil, he's a master of manipulation, and he still has all the same tactics. He wants the crowd to whisper in your ear, you can't do this fight no more. Throw the towel in. Give up. And you know what? It's easy to get up here and preach and say these things. And it's easy for me to say, don't listen to the devil. That's an easy thing. But you know, I wonder this morning, can you relate to something at some time in your life where you had a struggle? Where you could hardly get one foot past the other, spiritually speaking. Perhaps you could hardly get out of your bed in the morning. Perhaps you couldn't lift your head to pray. Perhaps you couldn't look towards heaven. Perhaps I'm sure every one of you has had a time with God. And you know, whenever you're overwhelmed with circumstances, it's very, very easy to throw the towel in. And a few circumstances prevail against you. And as I say, some people's cross is a lot heavier than others. People have different things to bear. Somebody can be going through a fight and facing an opponent that you've never faced before. And therefore you can't fully understand the extent and the persecution and the tribulation that person's going through. But they know. And I maybe don't know this morning what you're going through. And I can't help you. But I can point to one who can. This man, Jesus, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You see that one that's giving you the trouble? He's already been defeated. He doesn't hold the belt no more. But the one who holds the belt of the training champion says, be of good cheer. I've overcome that devil. I beat him. I fought him very good and I destroyed him. Don't you listen to his lies. Ring, ring. I'm ringing the bell. Get back into your corner now. It's time for a team talk. Get over there and listen to what the coach has got to say. Get up. Come back to the corner. The coach is the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Yeah. What's wrong with you out there? Why are you not getting up and fighting? Well, I was knocked down. Did you ever hear that story about the little boy who was running along the beach and he fell? And his mother says to him, what are you doing down there? And he said, I'm getting up. That's what you need to do. You need to get up.
Yeah.
You need to get up. The first thing now. Whenever you're lying down there, the opponent looks very big, doesn't he? And the devil is very good at making himself look big. He's good at puffing out his chest and standing over you. But you need to get up. Get up! I can't do it! Hold on a second! I'll give you a little weapon here. It's found in the book of Philippians, I believe, or Ephesians, perhaps it is. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
Amen.
That's going to help me. Yes, that's the word. And it's a New Testament word. When I beat that old dirty devil, I didn't have the New Testament. I beat him with the Old Testament, praise God. Because I said that devil lost many around, but he didn't lose the fight. But when he was in the wilderness, Satan come to him, tempting him. And he said, if thou be the Son of God, turn these rocks into bread. And he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Cast thyself down to this temple, for it is written, hey, it will give the angels charge to keep watch over thee, lest thou douse thy foot against the stone. But Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You see, you can defeat Satan with the word. Hallelujah. It's the weapon that's been placed in your hand. Hallelujah. To destroy the works of the enemy. The Bible says that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing through and the dividing of thunder of the joints and the marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That sword is a double-edged sword. Take it and get out there and fight again. Get on your feet. Go another round. You can do it. Praise God. Now, as this boy is in the ring and says, hold, I'm taking an awful beating out there. Well, why are you taking such a beating? What have you been listening to? You see, I feel like I can't lift my hands. I feel like I have no power left to punch anymore. Well, that's because your hands are bound, because you have listened to some lie that the enemy has told you. You have lost your focus. And I cannot stand over you, and I cannot equip you if you don't do what I say. If you're going to take another word that's not my word, I can't stand over it. No. But if you do what I tell you to do, I'll do it.
Amen.
Jesus, that's easy for you to say. Now I'm trying to get in your shoes this morning, get in my shoes, trying to think what it's like when you're going through a hard time. Jesus, it's easy for you to say you were God manifest in the flesh. That's true. But I left aside my deity. And I didn't use any of my supernatural ability when I overcome that devil. I defeated him in the flesh of the Lord. I'm your kinsman redeemer.
Amen.
God couldn't send the angel. And he couldn't come himself to do it because he's a spirit. And it wouldn't be a fair contest. Man forfeited and lost their original belt. So it had to be man to redeem it. And God became a man. Left aside his deity. Left aside his strength. And he could have spoke. He could have spoke a word and said, Satan, you're just finished right there and then. But he didn't. He fought the fight in a body of flesh. He could have called 10,000 angels.
Amen.
But he didn't do it. He hung on that cross and suffered for you and me. You know, Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, tabernacled in flesh, didn't use any of the supernatural ability to defeat that devil. He beat him as a man. That is powerful. But you know what Jesus said then to you this morning? You know, you think that's powerful, but listen, I was at a great disadvantage when I fought that old devil. He was a spiritual being. And you know, he could, with the prince of the power of the air, he had lots of accusers. But whenever I was in a body, I was only really on earth. I was only in one place at one time. Now, we know Jesus said that the Son of Man that came down, which was in heaven also, that would be in the spirit of Jesus, if you know what I'm saying. But off the body of Jesus was, he was one man. He could be physically hit. The spirit couldn't be hit, couldn't be beat, couldn't be pierced, couldn't be crucified. But Jesus in a body of flesh was able to receive all those things. And that's why, you see, God couldn't do that. That's why God had to have a son. Praise God for the Son of God.
Amen.
Now, Jesus said, whenever I fought this devil, I was at a great disadvantage. First of all, I didn't fight him as God. I fought him as a man. And not only that, but my father forsook me. I didn't have nobody to encourage me. It wasn't the pastor wasn't up every week encouraging me, saying, go another round. No, all I got was through the towel and you've had enough. I didn't have the pastor to ring. I couldn't ring the pastor and ask for encouragement. I hadn't been able to encourage myself in the Lord.
Amen.
I couldn't depend on somebody calling round at me and giving me a tap on the back and saying, you're doing well. No, but all I got was lies, gasping the teeth, and false accusations. And I got smoked from every which way and direction. And do you know what else? See, before ever I got into that ring, they beat me something serious. You know what they've done? They tied me to a whipping post. And they tried their best to kill me. Now I want to ask you this morning, if you had 10 lashes with a whip, how fit you'd be for a fight? Never named 30. You know, lashes with a whip with bone in it, where the Bible says that the flesh come off his shoulders and covered his buttocks. I want to ask you this morning, what condition would you be in for a fight then? You think you're going through a hard time? You're going through nothing compared to what Jesus went through. And he overcame. And he tells you this morning, be of good cheer, he has overcome the world. You see, you've got what you've got this morning are lying vanities. And Jonah in the belly of the whale said, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. And if you forsake your own mercy, who's going to show you mercy? Don't expect to see it from the enemy. He's got none to show. Don't forsake your own mercy. Believe in mercy. Jesus Christ will show you mercy, praise God.
Amen.
Now what else does Jesus say? Now, look at the condition I was when I went into that ring. I was ready, beat up, bloody and heck. You know what else? That old devil. Oh, he thought he was something big, parading around, Mr. Pump and Pride, holding up, displaying the belt. He thought he was something big, but you know what? I knew I could beat him. As a matter of fact, I could beat that boy blindfolded. I could beat him gagged. You said blindfolded and gagged? Yes, I was gagged. Couldn't even say a word. Here he was, giving all his words out, giving all his publicity stunts out, all his propaganda, all his speech that went against me, and I was gagged. What, to put a gag in your mouth that you couldn't answer back? Yes, my gag was Isaiah 53. And as a lamb is brought before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He couldn't even say something in retaliation. He couldn't say anything in his own defence. He was gagged. What a disadvantage. Couldn't say anything to persuade people to come to his side. You were blindfolded, yes. When they placed the thorn of crown, the thorns upon my brow, the blood gone down into my eyes, I couldn't see a thing. I was blinded. I couldn't see where I was going hardly. The blood was in my eyes. The sweat and the salt was in my eyes. I could hardly see a thing. And still I beat that dirty devil. Oh Lord, that's something powerful. Do you want to know what else? I was so confident I could beat that dirty devil. I beat him with both hands tied behind the back. What? You mean to say you get into the ring with that fire that I'm having so much trouble with both hands tied behind your back? Yes, they were nailed to a cross. I couldn't lift my hands up to cover my face. They were nailed to a cross. Oh Lord, I'm sorry. I begin to see now how good a fighter you were. I'm beginning to see now how a great victory that was. But you want to know something else? Not only was my hands tied, but my feet were tied also. Oh, praise God, the devil wants to tie your feet this morning. If he can get to tie your feet, you'll lose your balance in the Word of God. But if you don't have your balance in the Word of God, you could go fall anyway. But you need to be balanced in the Word of God. But Jesus said, I was so confident I could beat that dirty devil. I knew he was a coward, but I done it with both my feet nailed to the cross. There you go. What do you think of that for a fight? Was that a fair fight? Jesus was gagged. He was blinded. Both hands and feet tied up. Couldn't defend himself. And still with all, he beat that devil. is not something powerful. If you think you're going through a hard time, look to what Jesus done. You aren't going through nothing compared to what Jesus done. And you know what the benefit is? The good thing is, Jesus done this, fought this fight for you, so that you could receive the benefits of it. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for you. He's already defeated them. He's beat. Now he's the prince of this world cast down. And he gave that old devil a boot out into another realm. He lost his position. Satan, you know, Satan's not the boy he used to be. Now he can get plenty of trouble, but the most of his trouble comes whenever you get beat to him. Now, you've had the pep talk by the coach, Jesus. He's told you what he has done, and the bell goes again. And I hope at this stage you're on your feet and you're ready to come out fighting. Praise God. Amen. And you come onto the ring again, and Satan now says, this boy, he's got a spring in his step. Something has happened. I know what has happened. He's got talking to Jesus. And if you're talking to Jesus, he'll think to himself, well, I don't want that happening again. So we'll have to come up with some devices here. Now, he sees you coming towards him, and he's looking all around him for a bit of help. He says, I don't like the way this boy's coming at me here. Some of the crowds, you shout up and say something. Okay. Alright, you boy. Have you had enough yet? You can't go on any further. You've got enough of a beating. No, I'm going to press the bottle to the gate. No turning back. No turning back. Hallelujah. Yeah. And you take that fist and you hit him right between the eyes with it. And he begins to see stars. He's David. And he's going like this here. He's off his feet a bit. And the crowd sees, and all his enemies, they see what's happening. And they say, we better say something else. Hold on a second. Hold on. Slow down. We'll offer you something. We'll give you membership to the church. You know, we can give you a sense of belonging. You've went all your life, you've had no sense of belonging. You're like a spiritual gypsy. You don't know who your mummy is. But we can give you membership of an organisation, and you can take it in. You can be a Methodist or a Presbyterian or any other name you want to be. You can be those things. But you know what? He remembers now, or you should remember, what the coach Jesus said about the balance in the word. You see, he begins now to think, if you take this box, you're now coming again, the devil. Hold on a second. Church membership. Hold on, devil. You've got church membership mixed up. The Bible doesn't do. What you call a church and what the Bible calls a church is two different things. Because the Bible says that the church is the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And it's a many-membered body. And you don't sign up for membership. You cannot offer me membership. But I am born into it. Hallelujah. It's a family membership. It's a family affair. And I'm already a member of the church. Amen. You can't offer me nothing. And with the right hook, you hit him under the chin. And now he's almost completely knocked out. He's dotted about. He's hardly a leg left to stand on. And he'll do anything for desperation. What's he going to do now? Hold on a second now. Listen. Set yourself down. We're going to give you another word here. Listen. We can make you a better Christian. We can make you a better believer. First thing we'll do is we'll give you a new Bible. And we'll change it a bit. It'll be easier for you to understand. And we'll take a few verses out here and there. Nobody will ever notice. But that's a weakened word. Then you say, God's word says man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the enemy shouts up as he's trying desperately, he's clutching at straws. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are coming out? I remember what you done last week. I seen what you done last night. I heard what you said. And who do you think you are that you can come and pray here? Who do you think that you are that you can come and speak to God? God's not going to hear you. You're just a dirty, rotten sinner. And as he's doddering, you keep the pressure on, because he's going to drop. And you come on with another right one. Right heavy on the ear. Hit him so hard that his ear begins to ring with that verse that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. And his ears open unto their cry. God always hears you. Praise God. Because there's been a way made. The way of the glory has been opened. Praise God. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. You know what's powerful this morning? If you just keep calling on him with the word, you can pray this morning. You can call upon the name of the Lord this morning. If you're down, get up and take the bottle once more to the enemy. Don't go back. If Jesus said, I have no pleasure in them that turn back. But you go forward. Onward. Christian soldiers marching to the fight. Hallelujah. Marching off to war. Keep going on. Keep pressing on. Keep giving him the word. Jesus has already done it. You know, I said this morning, the devil wants to rob your peace. And I can close just with reading that verse. You know, he wants to take away your peace. If he takes away your peace, he'll take away your confidence. And if he takes away your confidence this morning, he'll take away your hope. And if he takes away your hope, he'll take away your strength. But my strength is in the Lord this morning. Your strength is in the Lord this morning. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace." Jesus wants you to have peace this morning because he has overcome for you. It says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." Sure, you're in a fight. Sure, you're going to have tribulation. But them tribulations will make you stronger. But if you just lie back and take it and don't do anything, you'll never go any further. You'll never be any stronger. You're not going to be an overcomer. You see, what is an overcomer? An overcomer is someone who overcomes. How can you overcome something that's not a tribulation? How can you overcome something that's not a test? But Jesus said this, that you may have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. That's what I want to leave you this morning. Be of good cheer.
Amen.
Don't listen to what the enemy's saying. He's a liar. And he's been defeated. For Jesus said, "I have overcome the world." And in doing that, Jesus, he overcome the devil, praise God. And don't you think this morning that it was easy for Jesus, praise God. Jesus suffered in a body of flesh. Jesus, being a kinsman redeemer, was tempted and tried in like manner in all points, even as we are. But he overcame, praise God. He's the greatest overcomer. And he holds the belt. He's the reigning champion this morning. He's the overcomer. And if you're in him, as his word declares you are, then you're an overcomer too. Praise God. Amen. He's the greatest overcomer that ever lived. His name is Jesus Christ. What a champion this morning.
Amen.
What a man this morning. That he could take that old devil, both hands tied behind his back. I think that's wonderful this morning. That he gave that devil such a hammer that he never forgot it. He gave him a deadly blow. And you know, he goes around with false teeth this morning, stripping his teeth at you. But you remember that they're false. Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And as I said at the start of this service, in order to overcome the world, you must overcome the prince of the world first. And Jesus done that. And we sang the hymn this morning. The declaration was made. The announcement was made. The referee gave the final decision on the third day when they come to the empty tomb. And the angel said, "Fear not, for he is risen." Why seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. He's a living Savior.
Amen.
Praise God. And he'll never die again. But that old devil, he's going to die the death of a man. He's wounded. He's a wounded animal this morning. And he's eternally defeated. Praise God. Amen. This morning, you know, God will only let the devil do what he allows him to do. And the Bible says he'll not suffer you to be tempted above that which you can withstand. Let me tell you this morning, you are an overcomer. Be of good cheer this morning, praise God. Stand up to the enemy this morning. Don't accept his lies. Don't give in to what he's saying. Don't you listen to it. You just go back to this word. And don't take any substitute for this word. Because if you leave this word, your feet will be tied and you'll lose your balance. But just you stay with us here.
Amen.
This breaks every fetter, praise God.
Amen.
And sets me free. Let's honor our feet this morning, praise God. Maybe we could, maybe sing chorus, maybe Sister Alba can come this morning. If we have that little chorus, "Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. And he sets me free." And you know what else it says? He is strong to deliver. He is strong to deliver, praise God. I will give him the glory. I will give him the glory. For he sets me free. Are you glad for the kinsman redeemer this morning? Are you glad that you have someone that you can personally relate to as a man? Now that is a wonderful thing, that Jesus, being our high priest, was as a man, tempted and tried like what we were. Amen. Now we know he's more than a man, but I want to show you that the greatness of it was that he beat the devil as a man. That's the greatness. Now listen, it was no contest for God to beat the devil. That wasn't even a contest. But for a man in the body of flesh, made after the likeness of sinful flesh, that was some achievement, praise God. Amen. Do we have that? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let us sing that, because it's so true this morning. And the Lord bless each one this morning. I hope you're encouraged by the word of God this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let us sing that Jesus breaks every fetter.
Jesus breaks every fetter. He is strong to deliver.
this morning, but while she does, you know, just keep playing it. But why don't we this morning, in appreciation of what Jesus has done, you know, whenever a fighter makes a good performance in the ring, when he puts up a good performance, the crowd shows their appreciation by clapping their hands. Let us appreciate the Lord what he does for us this morning. Praise God, he's the champion, hallelujah. He's the conqueror, hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Praise the Lord this morning. Blessed be Jesus, hallelujah, amen, this morning. Oh, he is strong to deliver, praise God, amen. This morning, if you want prayer this morning, just while we wait on the Lord and while we worship him, come you forward and we'll pray for you this morning, because what I've said this morning is true, not because I've said it, because I've only read what Jesus said. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. If you're not feeling in a place of cheer this morning, if you're feeling like he has, the enemy has tried to deprive you of your peace, come and I'll pray for you this morning, or come and some of the brothers will pray for you this morning, because God wants to give you peace.
Amen.
I'm coming into this world, he says, that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly, praise God. The Bible says that the enemy, that old devil, the thief, he has come not but to kill and to rob and to destroy. That's his work. If you're feeling like you've been robbed this morning, come and we'll pray for you, praise God. Amen. And he sets me free. I will give him the glory. Comes, let's forget about ourselves and concentrate on him and worship Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Apostle's going to come and going to pray. Again, if you want to come for prayer, come you on ahead. There's people here who can pray for you this morning. And the Lord bless and be of good cheer this morning. Take encouragement this morning from the Word of God. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord wonderful.
Amen.
Aren't you glad he's an overcomer and you're an overcomer?
Amen.
Let's sing this, praise God. Jesus says the champion.
Amen.
And I believe this is a message for people here today. You're struggling. You're battling. But greater is he that's in you.
Amen.
Than he that's in the world.
Yes.
Amen. The brother Branham said, you know, even if you've made a mistake, he says the blood lays there for you.
Amen.
You can always come.
Amen.
The blood lays there for you. And the Bible says, if you call the elders to pray over you, anoint you with oil, and if there's sin, it'll be forgiven.
Amen.
And the Lord And thank God, we have the greatest overcomer, the champion.
Yes,
the champion of all champions, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Praise God. Let us bow this morning and go to pray. Then we're going to sing this as we go. This last verse, praise God. Praise God. Let's just sing it again. There's people coming for prayer. Let's just sing it again while people come for prayer. Praise God.